Michael, what's a quality of earnings report focused on?
Yeah, so whenever you're pricing a transaction, you're going to have a multiple, and you're going to have EBITDA or revenue. And usually revenue is an item that Q of E focuses on just as well as EBITDA, because you know revenue's king too. If you don't have the revenue, you don't have the earnings, right? So as we jump through the hoops, it's really to make sure that what the purchase price is based on is real, and that the money was truly collected, and not that we have a crystal ball, but we're able to get enough information from management in most cases to at least support projections and forward-looking EBITDA. And that's a part of the exercise that a lot of buyers are really interested in, especially in times like this.
Right. So, you know, one topic that comes up with many companies is they don't have audited financial reports. It's easier to sell a company with audited financial reports. It just allows for more predictability. One of the conversations then becomes, gee, should we get audited financial reports? You can't do that on the fly, and at least in a very efficient way, but you can do it in many instances if you've got time for some prior periods. It depends. There's certain parts of getting prior audits for prior periods. You can't observe inventory, for example, that right. make it challenging. But does the Q of E process now mitigate the need for sellers to have audited financials?
No, it doesn't necessarily mitigate it because, you know, a Q of E is not an opinion. So we're not issuing an opinion on the financial statements, which is very important. What we're doing is we're digging through the books and records of the business and trying to determine what is not going to be recurring in the future. And we have to back those pieces out, or what were one-time events that it could be like a installation of a new IT system, it could be R&D, it could be you know, bonus payments, anything that's odd that's affecting the bottom line that really skews where this business is on a forward-looking basis. You have to have everything comparable. Just like you do on an audit, you want your financial statements comparable, you have to have the same thing with the Q of E.
Can I make one point? We talked about audited financials. 1 year worth of audited financials. So when we talk about an EBITDA multiple or revenue multiple, that's the multiple by which the value of the business is going to be determined. A company with no audited financials versus a company with 1 year of audited financials versus a company with 3 years of audited financials, I would tell you that 3 years of audited financials, all other things being equal, are worth one full turn of EBITDA multiple. EBITDA being $10 million, then just the fact that there are 3 years of audited financials may be worth one full turn or $10 million of enterprise value. There is a belief that if they've gone through the audit, and more importantly, they've gone through our audit more than once, that then all the systems and processes and reporting structures are in place and that the financial statements are that much more believable.
And it just helps, of course, tremendously. If you've been through this, you understand to get a deal done. And so it's a big expense, right? And it's a time commitment each year to get an audit. And, you know, most closely held companies don't need them. I mean, many do, but so I don't want to overstate it, but many don't. But even for those that don't, if they think that they're approaching some exit event potential at least, then it's worth getting audits for sure.
Let me give you a great example of why people who are successful in long-term companies don't get audits. If they're running their business entirely out of their own cash and they don't have any lending of any size, then they'll never be compelled to have audited financials. So we've worked with 100-year-old family companies that just do everything out of their own cash account and they don't have audited financials. But the minute you go to a bank and you ask to borrow $5 million, the first paragraph of the loan agreement will say that you're going to have audited financials now and going forward for the duration of the loan.
And it's just important to think about all of that as early as possible. And the one observation I'll make about the monthly financial reports, often the most challenging thing is just getting them done and having the team, internal team, in a position to actually do it without it taking as long as maybe it might take just when it's for the internal or for the historic owners.
That's a really good point. So whenever you're doing the sell side due diligence, the probably the best benefit from a management team perspective is it allows you to prepare for all of the questions that the buy side's going to come in and ask. And so if we're going to identify something just like they do, because it's the same process, we're just doing it earlier. And so we're going to be able to say, hey, look, why doesn't this reconcile? I thought, you know what I mean? If you think everything's great and you lift the hood and there's a few things that are broken in there, that process actually fixes them before you get to the end.
Yeah. And the Q of A, quality of assets, quality of earnings reports that Michael's mentioning, it has become customary on the sell side process for transactions over $100 million for the company to do its own Q of A, Q of V, before the investment bankers finish the book and launch the process. And the investment banking firms are just saying, we want to do the Q of A, Q of E now. We want to know what all the hair is that we have to deal with, and we don't want to have any surprises. And so at a transaction size over $100 million, the $150,000, $200,000 that a really messy Q of A, Q of E might take is a rounding error in the total transaction size. But it can save you weeks, months, half turn of EBITDA, full turn of EBITDA when it comes to the deal getting closed on time at the price you want, with as little haggling as possible.
And basically, once you have something that comes up that's out of the ordinary or unexpected from a financial standpoint, you lose some credibility, and there's this cloud over the transaction that unfortunately that's going to cause more scrutiny, more Q&A, and a lot more of a deep dive into the
absolutely. Back.